Hey, sweet friends, welcome back to the Love Your Bod Pod. My name is Kara Corinne Cefelli. I'm a health coach and a breathwork facilitator, and I help people heal their relationships with food and their bodies. I know it has been a hot minute since I recorded a podcast like this. I want to preface and say you might hear my cats running around in the background. They are in major play mode right now, and that is something new. Since the last time I recorded a podcast, we adopted two cats, but they're also causing a ruckus. So if you hear them in the background, you hear them in the background. Hopefully it's not too disruptive. I just want to quickly address the break in putting this podcast out. I'm going to keep it real short and sweet. I was just burned out, just really burned out. It's something that I spent quite a bit of time talking about with my therapist. And how I needed to take some things off of my plate so that I could recover and heal and gain my energy back. And the podcast was one of those things, but I am feeling restored and rejuvenated. With that said, not exactly sure in what type of regularity or consistency I'll be back to posting. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but that's where we were. That's what I was doing. That's the tea. Burnout is real. And that's all I have to say for that right now. Let's get into today's podcast topic. It's called How to Feel Better in Your Body. If you're listening to this and you're currently believing you need to lose weight to feel better about yourself and to feel better in your body, this is for you. I'm going to be sharing some stories and I'm going to be giving you some things to think about and to consider in hopes that it supports you in having a shift in perspective and hopes to support you in taking action right now to feel better in your body, whether you lose weight or not. Now, if someone were to have had this conversation with me in the middle of my eating disorder, I probably would have told them to shut up and that they were full of shit. I don't think I would have been really receptive to it. However, that would have shifted as I was getting more serious and committed to my recovery process. And what I can tell you now as somebody who's been in a highly recovered state for, I think, about almost 10 years now, I believe what I'm about to share with you with pretty much every fiber of my being. I have seen it over and over again with the women that I've worked with, and it's been very true for me. So just keep that in mind. If you have a lot of resistance to this, I totally get it. If there's a part of you that has resistance, but you intellectually understand it and get it, awesome. You're one step closer to feeling better in your body, no matter what size you are, no matter what you look like, which is the peace and freedom that I want for you all, is to be able to feel comfortable and confident and good enough and worthy and lovable in your body, regardless of what it looks like. No longer having all of those lovely things be attached to your appearance. Separating your worth from your weight is what we're after here with this conversation. So the goal is to have a shift in perspective away from the perspective that results in all of your power being given away to weight loss and diet culture, and towards a perspective that supports you in taking your power back and cultivating that internal core confidence within you. After we have that conversation, I'm going to give you some practical tips and action items that you can take with you to support you in feeling better in your body now without having to diet, restrict, and lose weight. So maybe you want to have a journal out so you can take some notes. Obviously, if you're driving, please focus on driving. But there's going to be 10 things that you can do to support you and take away. So be ready for that at the end. Okay. When I ask women why they want to lose weight, a very common response is, I want to feel better in my body. I want to feel better about myself. If you're feeling this way, have compassion on yourself. It makes perfect sense given the society that we live in and how diet culture and thinness is packaged and sold to us from a $60 or $70 billion industry, at least in the US. Not exactly sure what it is globally. I understand this sentiment very deeply because I used to think and feel the same way. I truly believed that I had to lose weight or to look a certain way to feel good in my body. I now know that's not true. So even though I get the thinking, I have since learned that it's not actually that way. You don't have to lose weight to feel better in your body or about yourself. That might seem like bad or upsetting news, or you might have a lot of resistance to that, but I actually see it as being really good news. Because how long have you been obsessing over weight loss, thinking that it's necessary for you to feel how you want to feel? I'm assuming a long fucking time. And here's the kicker. If it was true, like if you truly had to lose weight to feel better in your body and about yourself, that means you'd have to spend the rest of your life dieting and fighting food and fighting your body in hopes that you would feel better about yourself and in your body. And that would like literally suck. Like imagine being 85 years old and you're still in this place of striving for weight loss and controlling your food in order to feel good in your body and good enough. That would be exhausting. So it's actually really, really good news. Just chew on that stick of gum for a minute. Let that land. This is actually good news. Now, how did I get to this place? Well, I know that how we feel in our body has very little to do with our weight because I'm 40 pounds heavier now than I was in the middle of my eating disorder at my lowest adult weight. And I feel infinitely better now than I did then. I spent years in a body that people praised, and yet I hated it and truly felt terrible in my body. Now, maybe I had some days sprinkled in where I felt really good, right? Like maybe I woke up and it felt like I felt like thinner that day or lighter that day, right? So I had days sprinkled in where I felt good. But overall, in the grand scheme of like the 10 years that I was deeply wrapped up in my eating disorder, I generally felt terrible and not good in my body. I used to hate my cellulite and myself because I had cellulite. I thought the only way to feel better in my body and about myself was to get rid of it. And I thought the only way to be confident, to feel good enough, worthy, lovable, attractive, carefree was to tone up my body and shrink my body and fix my flaws. But, and here's the realness, this is important, I still have cellulite and I'm actually heavier. And yet I feel all of those wonderful things that I thought I would only be able to feel if I shrunk my body. So here's what I've learned. It is not determined by your weight or what your body looks like. Have you at all ever looked at an old picture of yourself when you were thinner and wondered why you hated yourself back then? If you have done that, and maybe you've done it many times, that's evidence that it doesn't actually have anything to do with what you look like, and that changing your body and what it looks like, it doesn't guarantee you will actually feel good about yourself. It doesn't guarantee positive body image. So to further drive this point home, I'm going to share a little story from Isabel Foxen Duke. I'm going to be kind of paraphrasing here, but the original concept is from her. So I want you to imagine that there are two women with very similar builds, both weighing 170 pounds. One woman lost 30 pounds, down from 200 pounds, and the other gained 30 pounds, up from 140 pounds. They are the same size and weight and similar shape, bone structure, etc. When compared to their previous self, one feels thin, confident, sexy, and attractive, while the other one feels gross, fat, unattractive, unworthy. From the outside, looking in, they look exactly alike, but in their minds, they feel totally different. How could that be? What does this show you about feeling fat versus feeling thin? Well, it's that anyone can feel fat or thin at any size, and your body image is not determined by your weight. How good you feel in your body is not actually determined by your weight. How you feel about yourself is not determined by your weight. Your weight has pretty much nothing to do with it. So you know that Wayne Dyer quote, change the way you look at things and the things you look at change? It's kind of like that. Your perception of your weight determines how you feel about yourself and how you feel in your body. So if these two women can look the same and feel completely different, that's evidence that feeling bad about your body or feeling bad about yourself because of your weight is a perception. It's a perspective. So this means that feeling better in your body results from changing your perspective and your perception, not your weight. So I was having this conversation with the client, this like exact conversation, and she's been somebody who has yo-yo dieted for a really long time, and she will diet really hard and lose weight, and then something happens and she rebounds into binge eating and she gains weight. And right now she's working on letting go of restriction. And so she's at this higher weight. Her body has regained the weight and she's at this higher weight, and she's talking about how uncomfortable she is, how embarrassed she is, how difficult it is to be in this larger body. And I told her, imagine if you were 30 pounds heavier than you are right now, and this body was your smaller body, you would be feeling amazing, right? Like, imagine that it was on the flip side. So instead of your, you know, diet body being 30 pounds heavier, your diet body was the exact weight that you were now. And that at your higher weight, when you rebound into binge eating and gain weight, you're 30 pounds heavier than you are right now in this moment. You would be feeling amazing about yourself in this moment. So that shows you it's about perception. If you're still on the fence about this, I want to share with you a study done on Fiji by a Harvard Medical School psychiatrist named Anne E. Becker. She had studied Fiji since the 1980s, before they had electricity and TV on most of the island. And she said that in women especially, Fijians appreciate large, robust bodies. But that all started to change with the introduction of TV, particularly Western American soap operas and our sexy commercials. So prior to 1995, when TV was introduced, there was zero record of eating disorders on the island. By 1998, just after three years of exposure to our Western media, 11% of adolescent girls reported disordered eating behaviors and a desire to be thinner. By 2007, Becker found that disordered eating habits were increasing. There was 45% of girls reporting that they had purged in the last month, hoping to lose weight. So prior to 1995, without exposure to our Western perception of beauty, no disordered eating, no desire to be thinner. By 2007, after exposure, after, you know, a little over 10 years, 12 years of exposure to our media, 45% of girls, adolescent girls, struggling. So this is more evidence that how you feel in your body is about perception. So prior to exposure to our Western media, it was okay to be large and robust. No disordered eating, no weight loss attempts, no purging. After exposure to a different perception of beauty, one that was thin, things began to change. Now, when I start to bring this up to people, whether it's on like in my coaching containers or it's on TikTok, a lot of times people will say, well, I know better now, right? Like I know that even though I used to be thinner, I hated myself, but I know better now. So I just want to get back to that thinner body, that lower weight, and I'm going to be fine. I will appreciate it. But if getting back to that lower weight makes you miserable, you'll be just as miserable trying to stay there. What that means is you're always going to have to engage in those behaviors that make you miserable to get to and stay at that lower weight. And we all know that's exhausting, and it greatly impacts how good you feel. Because if you have to engage in weight suppressive behaviors, that means you're eating less, you're not engaging in social events, you're not going out to eat, maybe you're over-exercising and skipping happy hour with your friends and going to the gym, right? And that makes us grouchy. Like dieting isn't really that enjoyable. And so you think that you're going to be happier, right? But you're going to have to engage in all these things that make you miserable to get there and stay there. And are you really going to want to have to fight your body the rest of your life just to feel good? Like, is that actually what you want? Like, do you really want to keep believing that you have to lose weight in order to feel better in your body? Or do you want to find a way to feel better that isn't dependent on being a certain size? And my cat just jumped up on my lap, Diego. So if you heard him meow, that's what's up. He's sitting on my lap right now. Super cute. let's get my train of thought back on on track. So would you like to find a way to feel better in your body and feel better about yourself that isn't dependent on being a certain size, so that you can feel good about yourself and in your body as you age and as your body inevitably changes? Maybe you saw on my Instagram stories over the last couple of weeks, I've been in a documentary filmmaking program, and I'm making a short documentary film with the hopes of raising money to make a feature length about diet culture. And I interviewed women over 60 years old about dieting. And one of the things that one of the women said is like, your body will change. Like, so long as you're alive and you get older, your body will change. And this particular woman, she had an eating disorder. She had anorexia and bulimia. And she said, being able to make peace with my body so that I felt good about myself as I aged is one of the things I am most grateful for. She's like, because I'm in my 60s now, and like, I don't look like I did when I was in my 20s or my 30s or even my 40s. So it's really good news that you don't have to have your body look a certain way for you to feel okay, because so long as you have the gift of being alive, your body's going to change. So I want you to be free from relying on your weight and your appearance to feel good about yourself, to have self-worth. It's also easier to feel good about your body when you feel good about yourself and who you are. When we don't feel good about who we are and about ourselves, often those feelings of inadequacy on the inside will get projected onto our outsides. And so we think that if we just fix our perceived flaws on our body, that all of that ickiness inside of us will resolve. And it doesn't actually work like that. When we actually address why it is that we don't feel good enough or smart enough or capable enough or lovable or whatever, when we actually address that stuff head on, what ends up happening is you are okay with what your body looks like. It's easier for you to be kind and compassionate when you like who you are. And when you like yourself, it's much easier to look in the mirror and think you look fine, to think you look okay, that you're good enough. And it is absolutely possible to get here. I promise. I've done it. I've helped countless people do the work to get here too. So I know this is possible for you. And what I can tell you is I am so happy that I've done that deeper inner work, that body image healing work, so that over the years, as my body has changed, as I've gained weight, as my hair is going gray, as I'm getting wrinkles and fine lines, my confidence and my self-esteem hasn't been rocked. It's still grounded. I still have a solid foundation for my sense of self-worth and my enoughness. And I want this for you. That is the goal of this conversation, as well as all the work that I do with people to help them heal their relationships with food and their bodies, is for them to have sustainable self-worth and self-confidence as they move through their life. Okay, let's shift gears. Let's get into the practical tips and action items to support you in feeling better in your body. These aren't about losing weight or restriction. They aren't even necessarily about liking what you look like either. It's to support you in getting to a place where you don't spend so much time thinking about your body and what you look like. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about my appearance anymore, and it's very freeing. I want you to be able to get up in the morning, get dressed, see yourself in the mirror, think that you look okay or okay enough, not worry about it too much, and then move on with your life. That's where I'm at now. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have days where I do my hair or put on makeup. I do. Oh my gosh, the cats are going banana land. Just, if you hear it in the background, that's what's happening. Maybe you can't hear it at all and I'm worried about nothing, but they're having a ball. Okay. After I share these tips, I am going to be inviting you to join me at Food Body Soul the Retreat. I'm going to be sharing about that retreat. And for those of you that are interested in taking this education and this healing deeper, I'm going to be talking about that at the end. If you're not interested in that, after I share these 10 tips to support you, you can just pop off. But for those of you that are interested, you are welcome to stick around. Okay, let's get into the tips. Number one, it's a journal prompt or a reflection prompt. If you're more like me, I don't really love to journal. I kind of prefer to like reflect on questions while I'm driving or working or staring out the window drinking coffee. But either way, here it is. What would feeling more comfortable in your body allow you to do? What would feeling more comfortable in your body mean for you? So for example, maybe it's putting on a swimsuit and going to the beach. Maybe it's speaking up in meetings. Maybe it's engaging in more movement and enjoying it more. Maybe it means you start dating or you open yourself up to be more intimate with your partner. Maybe you decide that you're going to have sex naked with the lights on instead of with the lights off and a shirt on. I used to be that person. Hi. When you do this reflection question and you think about all of the things that it would allow you to do, what you're able to see is that all of those things are actually possible without you losing weight. This helps you see what is possible through the accepting of your body as opposed to making a change in weight the mandatory condition for you to do all of those things. Number two, try being kinder to yourself about everything. Be compassionate, be comforting. Imagine talking to your best friend the way you talk to yourself. How do you think your friend would feel? And do you think your friend would like you if you spoke to them in the ways that you speak to yourself? A lot of us justify shame and negative self-talk under the assumption that if you're not so hard on yourself, you're like never going to grow or do better. But you've probably been talking shit to yourself for a really long time and you're still not where you're at. So like, what do you have to lose by being a little kinder to yourself, right? And here's the thing, your friend probably wouldn't like you if you spoke to them the way that you speak to yourself. So why do you expect you to end up liking you when you're being such a dick? This doesn't really work like that, right? So you don't have anything to lose by being kinder, by being compassionate. Please give it a shot. Compassion is like the lubricant through this bumpy road of recovery. Number three, aim for body neutrality. You do not need to like or love what your body looks like in order to feel better in your body or to be at peace with it. I think a lot of us can assume, and I know this from like the clients that I've worked with, is we think that the goal of body image work is to get to a place where we love what our body looks like, where we look in the mirror and we're like, oh my God, I'm a sexy beast. That's not necessarily the goal. That doesn't have to be the goal. And that can also feel like such a tall, impossible order. When you spent so long hating your body and the beauty standard is so unattainable. So getting to a place where you're neutral towards your body, meaning you don't hate it, you don't have like these unbearable, hateful feelings towards it, and you don't love what you look like, but rather you're just like okay with it. You're like, it is what it is. Like I wear a size 8 in shoe and this is my body. And like, that's just, it is what it is. That's really, that can be the goal. And I think that's a much more realistic goal and attainable goal and removes a lot of the pressure that we feel with the whole like love your body messages. I know this is called the love your bod pod. It's because it rhymes. It sounds good. Not because you need to love what your body looks like. Aim for body neutrality. Aim to get to a place where, you know, it is what it is. I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. And I can move on with my life. That's where I'm at. I'm not like, oh my God, I love what I look like. I just don't think about it that much anymore. And that's what I want for you. If you want that for yourself too. Number four, give your brain some different stuff to look at and take in. Your brain needs some more information. This is called exposure therapy. So just like in the Fijian study and how the media that they consumed impacted how they felt about their bodies, the same is true for you and your brain. The media you consume is impacting how you feel about yourself. So if all you're doing is staring at like thin, model-y looking people, you're going to struggle with how you feel about yourself because that's what you're going to be comparing yourself to. So my suggestion is to keep listening to this podcast. Go follow all of the women that I interview from this podcast. Go follow some fat positive babes and people with different body shapes and sizes. I really encourage you to actively spend time looking at a wider variety of people and bodies and information, giving your brain information that isn't rooted in diet culture and our patriarchal beauty standards, because this is scientifically proven to help change how you feel about yourself, to help change your perspective and your body image. Number five, distinguish between how you actually feel physically in your body versus how you feel mentally about your body. Now, we haven't talked too much about like physical discomfort. We're going to talk about it a little bit here, but it's a similar conversation, but it is a different conversation. So I'm just going to touch on it a little bit here. But this conversation was mostly about how you mentally and emotionally feel about your body, which you've probably picked up on, but I digress. So there were many days where I felt really horrible about myself and in my body, but it was a mental thing, not a physical thing. Now, sometimes it is a physical thing, right? Like maybe you have, like there were days where I had joint pain and where I had headaches, or you experience things like soreness. Maybe some of you have chronic pain. Again, it's a slightly different conversation. Okay, cats are going banana land. And if you are experiencing pain in your body or physical discomfort, you can address that without just focusing on dieting and trying to lose weight. There are weight neutral ways to address physical discomfort in your body. This includes things like physical therapy, yoga, stretching, maybe seeing a chiropractor or getting some acupuncture to address how you're physically feeling. But right now in this moment, let's just practice this. Check in with your physical body. Drop your awareness into the physical body. How are you actually feeling? Is there tightness, tension, or do you actually physically feel pretty well? It's helpful to distinguish the discomfort that you're feeling. Is it mental and emotional? Is it physical? Sometimes it's both. Like if you were, but here's an example. Imagine that you were feeling fine about yourself, but then you saw a picture of yourself you didn't like, and then it was like, oh my God, I feel terrible. It's helpful to remind yourself that you were fine and feeling good before you saw that picture, and you can choose to be more loyal to that feeling instead of that image. All right, moving on. Number six, remind yourself that the negative voice in your head is not truly yours. The voice telling you that you need to be thinner to be loved or enough, the voice telling you that everyone is judging you, that's diet culture. That is our oppressive patriarchal society. Those negative thoughts are not truly yours. You did not truly come up with them. They're not authentic and original to you. It's important to remind yourself of that. One of the things that I offer my clients is that's not mine. So when a disempowering diety thought comes up, to notice it and remind yourself that's not mine. It can be very helpful. Number seven, discover what is more important to you in your life and put your energy into that. Now, this is a really big conversation and it is a core tenet of the work that I do with my clients, but when you have a purposeful life outside of food and weight naturally becomes less important. If so much of your mental load is devoted to hating your body and picking it apart and micromanaging food, ask yourself, what else could you be spending time doing? What do you want to be doing? And can you start to allocate more of your mental and emotional and energetic resources to those things? Again, this is a very deep conversation, but you know, that's the truncated version. Find what is more important to you and put more energy into that. Number eight, focus on the parts of yourself that you do appreciate. So maybe, you know, you like your hair or you're really creative or you're really funny. We can get so focused on things that we don't like and be in the negative headspace, but by intentionally shifting your awareness to the things that you appreciate can be a very helpful practice. Number nine, wear clothes that fit and that are comfortable. So this goes into the physical discomfort part of this conversation. You know, sometimes physical discomfort can lead into mental discomfort. So if you put on pants that are too tight, like let's just say you felt fine, and then you put on pants that are a little too tight, it can really impact how you feel about yourself. Or like if you put on clothes that aren't comfortable, maybe they're like restrictive or they're itchy, right? Like that can lead to body shame and feeling uncomfortable in your body. So wearing clothes that fit, loose fitting clothes, fabrics that are comfortable and that you like is so helpful in the grand scheme of your overall body image journey. So like if you're wearing clothes that are too tight, it's hard not to be hyperfixated on your body because that discomfort is going to be siphoning away your awareness from whatever's going on in your life and drawing it towards your body. So assess your comfort level in your body and in the clothes that you're wearing and see if you can take some actions towards getting more comfortable clothes, whether that's garage sales, resale, secondhand, those types of things if money is tight. And then building on this, if you are noticing you're not feeling well in your physical body right now, what are some things that you can do to make yourself more comfortable? Maybe it's lowering the lights and having better ambiance. Maybe it's taking a bath or dry brushing or rubbing lotion on your body. Maybe it's lighting some incense. Maybe it's getting more comfortable shoes or you know, putting on a facial, right? Like, are there some things that you can do to feel more comfortable in your body? Maybe it's laying on a heating pad. Like, oh, when I get really tight and sore, laying on a heating pad alleviates a lot of the physical discomfort that I feel in my body. You know, so things like that. What are some things that you can do to make yourself more comfortable? And then number 10 is LSD. And no, I'm not talking about acid. Although I did take LSD once at Burning Man back in 2015. It was a lot of fun, and it was also a very deeply spiritual experience, which was like very cool. But anyways, that's not the LSD I'm talking about. I am talking about LSD as in long, slow, deep breathing. Yes, yes, yes. I am a breathwork facilitator. Big fan of the breath. The breath supports you in non-verbal, non-mindset based healing. It supports you in getting into the body, into the soma, which is where so much of the trauma lives. I truly believe that if your recovery does not include some level of somatic body based healing modalities, it's just not going to work that well, right? Like, if we're just doing cognitive, like if we're just doing CBT or personal CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, or we're just doing mindset work or personal development work, but we're not doing some type of somatic body based healing coinciding with that, often it doesn't work long term. It's not as sustainable. And we might intellectually get things, but emotionally we're going to feel different because emotions live in the body. So long, slow, deep breathing supports you in activating the parasympathetic nervous system. If you are feeling really activated and really uncomfortable in your body, if you get really triggered, pause, slow down, and just breathe in through the nose. Exhale out the mouth, or you can exhale out the nose, but breathe in through your nose. It creates nitric oxide when you breathe in through the nose like that. It also cleanses and humidifies the breath, so it's a higher quality breath as opposed to mouth breathing. And nitric oxide supports the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest peaceful nervous system. So don't underestimate the power of your breath. I have a few breathwork, short little breathwork things on my podcast. There's a couple of episodes about it. There's also Instagram, IGTVs with some short breathwork practices if you're not sure where to start. Otherwise, just breathe in and out, long and slow into the belly. Very powerful. And just to sort of like further encapsulate the somatic-based healing, part of why I want to invite you into Food Body Soul the Retreat now is because we do a lot of that somatic body-based healing to coincide with any mindset work, any talk therapy that you might be doing. So I'm going to quickly recap these 10 tips. And then for those of you that are interested, I'm going to talk a little bit about the retreat. So number one, journal prompt or reflection prompt. What would feeling more comfortable in your body allow you to do? What would it mean for you? Number two, try being kinder to yourself about everything. So being compassionate and kind. Number three, aim for body neutrality. Number four, give your brain some different stuff to look at and different information to take in. Number five, distinguish between how you are actually feeling physically in your body versus how you feel mentally about your body. Number six, remind yourself that that negative voice in your head is not truly yours. It's the internalization of diet culture, etc. Number seven, discover what is more important to you outside of food and weight and put your energy into that. Number eight, focus on parts of yourself that you do appreciate and feel okay with. Number nine, wear clothes that are comfortable and that fit. And then if you need to, do anything within your control right now to make yourself feel more comfortable in your body. For me, it's always a heating pad. Number 10, LSD, long, slow, deep breathing. Okay, I hope you got a ton out of this podcast episode. I hope it supported you in having a shift in perspective. For those of you that are not interested in the retreat, feel free to pop off. Those of you that are interested in taking this education and this healing deeper, I am so unbelievably excited to share about Food, Body, Soul, the retreat with you. So as I shared earlier, I spent years believing that the solution to my problems and my pain was to be thinner and to lose weight. In reality, that was a distraction from the actual work I needed to do. Like I shared, I'm heavier now. I still have cellulite, but I am confident, comfortable, and at peace. I know I'm good enough and worthy, and that it was never actually determined by my weight. And I want to support you in getting to this place if this is the place where you want to be. And if you are ready and willing to do the deeper level work, not only the mindset work, but also the somatic body-based work that it takes to get to this place, then Food Body Soul the Retreat is an incredible option for you. It's the most lovely experience. I love being able to host the retreat, but I've had many women say that they feel completely changed after the experience. I was literally just voice memoing with one of my previous clients who came to the retreat, and she was telling me about how she is still utilizing the things that she learned at the retreat and that she is still growing and having deeper epiphanies after the retreat. And this last retreat was in January. It's now August. So she's still noticing a ripple effect of things unfolding and healing and transforming, which is so, so cool. So yes, it's just 4 days and three nights of in-person work, but there is a ripple effect. You're going to take everything that you learned with you and continue to utilize it in your life, which is so cool. And if you're able to, this is just such a gift that you can give to yourself to set aside a whole weekend to take care of you and to devote uninterrupted time to your healing. I will be guiding you through the exact practices and exercises that helped me get to the place where I am now with my body image and my self-worth. Like I mentioned, it's 4 days, three nights of in-person work. Zoom is great, but like nothing beats in-person, right? We all know this after going through the pandemic. It's just in-person just hits different, you know? Zoom's great. But you know what I mean. It's in San Diego, California. It's September 2nd through the 5th. So it's this upcoming Labor Day weekend. And we're going to be at an estate on a private vineyard. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It has these massive, massive, gorgeous view from the backyard, from the kitchen, from the living room. It just has these insane views of the vineyard and of San Diego. So if you would like to hear from a previous participant about her experience, there is episode 131 of the Love Your Bod Pod where I interview Natalie. I would go check that out if you're curious. You can also head to my website, karacurrencifelli.com/FBS-retreat. karacurrencifelli.com/FBS-retreat. You can read about it. You can read some testimonials there. You can watch a video from one of the previous Food Body Soul retreats to get even more of an idea and to hear from more women. There's women sharing about their experience in the retreat in that video as well about the retreat. And then if you do go to the website or you want to hop on the phone with me to see if it's a good fit, you can DM me on Instagram or you can apply through the website for a complimentary call and we can chat. I'll answer your questions and stuff like that. There are two spots left, so if you're feeling called, if you're feeling that pull, please reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. I can't wait to talk to you and to potentially have you at this amazing, life-changing experience of a retreat. It's so beautiful, and you'll walk away with so much, so much. It's just such a lovely, enriching, valuable investment in you and your future. Okay, my loves, I hope you're having a beautiful day. Thank you for hanging out with me, and we'll talk soon.